Manhood, it can feel complicated. There's all this stuff you're just supposed to know. But what if you don't?
I can use a starting point. You know, one thing to improve my workout or complete a do-it-yourself project.
When it comes to the biggest questions in life, it'd be nice to have actual answers from real experts. So we went out and found some.
My name is Cameron.
And I'm Andy. And this is Man Skills. You're a dude. DIY runs in your blood. Whether it's in the name of saving a buck or the pride you feel in accomplishing a task, tackling a home improvement project comes with the territory. Today, the senior VP of a successful construction company sheds light on the one thing you need to know about tackling your own home improvement projects.
Andy and I met today's guest while at church camp. I know what you're thinking, and it's actually nothing like the church camp you're used to.
Yeah, no, it might actually be the farthest thing from that. So man camp is a bunch of dudes getting together, and when I say a bunch, I mean like 1,500 to 2,000 dudes going out in the woods and experiencing God in a new way that's fresh and it relates to them. We actually met Judd at man camp, and this is kind of his brainchild.
But Judd's day job actually has nothing to do with camping. So Judd, why don't you tell us what your area expertise is?
So, yeah, I'm Judd Watkins. I'm in construction. I've been in construction for 25 or more years now. I've done a few home improvement projects. So you learn some things, right?
Yeah. So how'd you get into construction?
A strange path. So I studied robotics in college.
Wow.
Yeah, this is not that, right? And, So, but my wife, her father started a company in 1959.
Dang.
Yeah, okay. And I was given the opportunity to go to work there and eventually own the company. So I took that because that's a pretty great opportunity.
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your home DIY kind of stuff. Like,
I've flipped houses, finished basements, done all sorts of stuff like that over the years. But we all have the ability to do any of this stuff if we just apply ourselves, right?
Right, yeah.
And then you look at the, you're like, wait, I bought this house and there's however many square feet just sitting in the basement unused. So you just tackle the thing. So the reason I kind of know about it is because I've done it enough to have made enough mistakes to understand okay. So maybe learn from some of those,
So what's the one thing we need to know about a successful DIY home improvement project?
the simple, there could be a million answers to that, but the simple answer is it's going to cost more than you think, whether that's money or time or patience or bruises. It's not ever as simple as you think it's going to be.
Yeah. Somebody much older and wiser than me once told me when I was young, and I'm thankful that he did tell me. He's like, anytime you start something new, you can just basically count on it costing you four times whatever you think it's going to, time and effort, which it never fails.
Never.
Every time I try something new, I'm like, daggone it, I thought this was going to take me a week, and I'm like a month in, I've got halfway done. This is stupid.
Right. I mean, that struggle's worth it. Like, you, at the end of that, you've learned. And that's the thing you don't quantify when you're like, all right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to add this room, or I'm going to put a window in or whatever. You're like, well, the contractor said it's going to cost X amount, but I know that's way too much.
Yeah.
And you end up spending 3X.
Yeah.
But you learned how to do a window, and you learned you could do a window or whatever the thing
right.
is. So there's value other than just the project itself. So,
Man. Well, here's what I want to know. Ooh. Let's get right into the nitty-gritty of it.
Let's do it.
Tell us about a time where you just colossally screwed up a project.
Man, there's a million. I think the most, probably one of the most interesting ones was I bought an old house in up in Lebanon, Ohio, in the historic district. Bought it, finished out the basement, and this I'm going to tell my age a little bit. This is back when home theaters were the thing, you know, and I had a 60-inch TV, and we built this wall that was like shaped like an S, so it was concave and convex radius.
Whoa.
We built the TV into it, you know. It was incredible, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we had this thing. The measurements, we were talking about tangents and all this stuff to figure out how to do all this work. We get it all in. And the moving day comes, and the guys come to go grab all the stuff. I'm at work. My wife calls. She goes, hey, the TV is not fitting down the steps. Because we had finished down the steps, the whole thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's not fitting down the steps. She's like, because the TV is like the size of a small car at this point.
Yeah.
Like, this is old school stuff. I'm like, what? And it didn't. It didn't fit down the steps.
Oh, no.
Because the finisher, he had built up too much mud. It was like a half an inch. The hole was like a half an inch too small. And the movers, you know, he's like, yeah, man, like he showed me this, and this. And I was like, all right. So I go out to the garage, I grab a router and a shop vac, and I literally just saw the ceiling out, right? And this guy's eyes are like big as saucers. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, hey, man, I can fix that drywall.
Yeah.
I can't change that TV. And so, yeah, that was that was kind of a major uh-oh. Yeah. So,
but you got the TV in.
Oh, we got it in. And we left it there. We stayed there. We sold it with the house. We're like, you can keep the TV. It's never coming out of here. Yeah.
Listen to you guys talk. I have to admit that I do not have any knowledge when it comes to do-it-yourself projects. So there's some words that you guys are saying, and I'm like, oh, what does that mean? And so I'm trying to keep up.
All right.
But what would you say to someone like me who might be buying their first house, and they're wanting to get some confidence and thinking about what projects can I actually tackle that are doable for myself versus jumping in too deep too soon?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first thing that comes to mind is everybody thinks, well, I can paint, and everybody can paint. But painting is a lot harder than it looks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, honestly, if I'm assessing, okay, I got a new house, I don't really know a lot, I want to change out the sink in my master bathroom, or I want to paint the house. On the surface of it, painting the house, inside the house, feels like, oh, I can run a roller, cool. Changing that faucet out in the sink, right, if that's what you're doing, like, that's way, way easier than painting your house.
Wow, okay.
Right?
So, yeah.
I mean, you can pull up a YouTube video and watch a guy do it, and he can give you pointers on, hey, make sure you do this or do that. All that knowledge is out there. It's really a question of how much time you want to invest in it. So that's why contractors are there. You're paying for their expertise, but you're also paying for their time. That's what, you know, a lot of the world kind of revolves on that. It's either time or money, which is it. So if you've got the time to mess with that sink, I got a buddy who his shower's jacked up, and he's been trying to get guys to come over and fix his shower. It's leaking into the first floor and whatever, and he can't get anybody to come out and look at it, so he's like, well, I'm just going to do it. He's been working on the shower, like, for 4 months.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Now, luckily, he has another shower that his family can use while he's doing that.
Yeah.
But he could have either called somebody up and said, I know this is a $2,000 job. I'll give you $5,000 just to get you to show up and do it. Or he could spend 4 months working on it. Well, obviously, he chose the 4 months because he had an option. You can do all this stuff, is all I'm saying. So
I don't have that much experience. Like, I framed houses for a summer and did roofing, which was the hardest job I've ever done. Yeah. And you should pay somebody to do your roof. I'll just go ahead and say that.
Yeah. No, you don't want to leak your roof.
Well, that's the thing, is not only is it super hard, but the stakes are super high.
Yeah.
If you put a faucet in your master bathroom and it leaks a little bit, you can fiddle with that till it doesn't. If your roof leaks, you've made a terrible mistake.
Okay, so what are the 5 most important tools for every man to own?
A real hammer. If anybody owns a picture hanging hammer, they need to throw it away right now. Okay. You don't need a sledgehammer. You just need a hammer. So just go to Home Depot and say, I need a hammer, and you get an actual hammer. So a hammer is important. A tape measure that is 16 feet or longer. If you have a 12-foot tape measure or shorter, throw that away. That's for hanging pictures. You don't need either of those things. A mechanics toolkit. Hey, here's your first house toolkit where it's got the little tape measure and the little hammer. Well, I'm talking about box end wrenches, open end wrenches, sockets, Allen keys, things like that, like a mechanics toolkit. You can Amazon that mechanics toolkit. A knife of some kind. It could absolutely be a really cool knife belt or a razor knife, but just something to cut things with, right?
Yeah.
And really, the mechanics toolkit will have pliers and some screwdrivers in it, but there is nothing better than a good Phillips screwdriver. That's it. I mean, that's just the basic stuff. And as far as those tools go, I think it's important to understand. A lot of guys they go to, whether it's Home Depot or Amazon, and they want the industrial grade, whatever it is. Yeah. That's made for the guys that are using them all day, every day.
Yeah, they're making money with them.
Right, they're making, that's their tool, the tools of their trade, right? So it makes sense that they spend that extra money and they need the steel gears and all the different stuff that those things come with. Yeah. But you don't.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to use it a couple times, go get the entry-level thing, and it will last you 20 years if you don't abuse it, you know?
Right,
yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. I know that wasn't part of the question.
But, no, I'm loving it. Well, yeah, it's great.
Kind of going off of that train, so if I have a certain budget to say to spend on tools, should I go for the more expensive tool that's going to be probably one tool, or spend less and get a variety of cheaper tools?
Yeah. Based on the frequency of use, that's how you answer that question. So if you're the kind of guy that is really into home improvement, you're going to finish your basement, you're going to build a deck, buy the more expensive tool. it will pay for itself in your own frustration, because if you take a $60 Ryobi drill mm-hmm. or a $160 Bosch drill mm-hmm. and you're trying to drill a rim joist into the side of it, it's a big piece of wood you're putting a hole in. So if you do that, if you're trying to do that, one drill is going to take you 20 minutes and probably almost kill the drill
yeah.
and you're going to be super frustrated. One drill is going to do it in 30 seconds and you're going to be like, that was super easy.
Yeah.
So, but if all you're going to do is random, maybe around the house, like kind of stuff like I'm talking about doing, where I'm like, hey man, maybe we'll put a light up there, change that mirror, whatever. The entry level stuff is way more valuable to you, because there's no reason to spend the money on the fixture you're going to get instead of the tool, because you're going to use that tool
yeah.
once. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of depends on the project that you have that you're wanting to tackle at the moment.
Or the frequency of use. So are you going to do this kind of stuff every weekend? Then invest in the tool. Yeah. If you're going to do it once every 6 months, no, don't do that. You know, yeah. it's like buying a Ferrari and parking it in your garage, right?
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
If you just need to get from A to B, just go. Yeah, so yeah.
I will say That's though, good. There's a big difference between using a zip tie and a pipe clamp. So
yes.
buy the right tool for the job. It's probably another bit of.
That's, I'm not even sure how those two are related.
Yeah,
but
hey, you'd be surprised. You know, well, there's like,
what do you
I
do
always
with a zip tie.
Hey, man. Hey, I grew up in Kentucky, which you
oh,
did
zip
too.
Ties are amazing. Yeah. Yeah, I did. No, zip ties are super handy.
Yeah. Hey, you never know.
Yeah, they're like the new duct tape, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What about borrowing tools? Is that still a thing where you're allowed to go to your neighbor and ask for a tool, or do you share your tools with your neighbors?
I share my stuff, but that's kind of how I operate in general. If you've got some dudes and like, it's much smarter. Like if you've got five guys you're buds with, you're like, hey man, why don't you buy the saw and I'll buy the drill, and then you can share that stuff. Because yeah. again, if you're not using it all the time, borrowing makes a lot of sense. That's why they have tool rental places, right?
Yep.
So I'm in construction. We do projects all day, every day. There are a lot of tools that we don't own. There are a lot of tools that we use once a year. So we'll go rent that thing and then give it back.
Yeah.
So borrowing tools makes a lot of sense if you're around folks that like to share their stuff, you know?
You mentioned YouTube earlier, and I spend more time watching YouTube learning stuff than I probably should. But you never know what kind of Yahoo you're going to land
true.
On.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are there other like avenues I could go to learn? Like is there a book that you recommend? Or
I can't personally recommend any materials of that sort. I am much more of a I'm going to do it and figure it out.
Yeah,
that's just
fair enough.
Doing it is pretty much the best way to learn how to do something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to do it responsibly. So watching a YouTube video or maybe Googling some stuff and looking at, hey, what does code mean for this, and getting those tips. And, you know, like you said, there's a bunch of yahoos out there.
Oh, yeah.
But if you mm-hmm. watch seven videos, there might be one common through line. You go, oh, they all agree on this, so that's probably true, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and there's the other great thing about the whole construction DIY or otherwise is the legacy of, like, journeyman and apprentice. So there's no better way to learn than to go ask that old crusty guy down the street and go, hey, man, I heard you used to do this or whatever. Or I know you finished your basement. What'd you learn? So,
yeah. Yeah. I am constantly trying to learn new skills. Like, it's written into my DNA. I can't stop, which is why I'm always on YouTube and stuff. I'm like looking at stuff I don't even need to learn how to do. Like, how do I hem a pair of jeans?
Our culture today is so much of sort of a voyeuristic, like, we want to watch that guy do it. Like, you want to watch Bear Grylls out in the woods, or you want to watch the cooking show when this guy's doing the thing.
Yeah.
But, like, life is not meant to be observed. It's meant to be lived, right?
Yeah.
So, don't spend 4 hours figuring out how to hem jeans or watching videos about hemming jeans. Go hem some jeans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do the thing, even if you do fewer of them, right? So, yeah.
Well, the payoff is way different there.
Like, boy, there's a payoff.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no payoff.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, I just watched that dude hem some jeans.
Mm, that was good.
That was cool.
Yeah, and then you forget about it. Because content with no context is useless, right? You're like, man, I saw that guy. And then a year later, you're actually hemming jeans. You're like, man, what'd that guy do? You don't know.
Man, that's a good word.
Sounds like you just have to get over the fear of failing on your first couple projects, because it seems like a lot of times you learn as you're failing and you're making mistakes and you're improving. Mm-hmm. And I think so often we want to watch all the videos we can, because we're like, if we have the most knowledge and we're not going to fail, we're not going to screw this up. But it sounds like we both have like learned through experiences of like messing up projects and like how to apply that to be better on the next one.
Yeah, like I worked at Wendy's in high school, right? First day I went, I didn't know how to fry fries. That's not a hard thing to do, but I don't, somebody had to teach me how to do that, and then I had to do it, right? So why would you expect to go do something that people do professionally every day and not make a mistake? Right. So I almost think you got to redefine what failure is. You know, like maybe you're going to make some mistakes, so maybe you got to build that wall three times or whatever, install that, whatever the thing is. Cool. No big deal. You're learning, right? So give yourself that grace when you're doing it. I think if you complete a project, you have not failed, period. You know what I mean? So
shoot. Judd, thanks for being with us today, man.
Thanks
it's been
for having
awesome.
Me, guys. Yeah. Glad to be here.
Cool. Hey, we'd love to continue the conversation with you. You can email us both at podcast@crossroads.net.
Man Skills is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our sweet theme music to our friend, Alex Stevens. Whoop, whoop.